Der Energy Star Talk. Eure Stars im Interview.
Hey ihr Lieben, hier ist Jonas von Energy. Jetzt hört ihr den neuen Star Talk. Zu Gast bei mir ist Tom Walker, ein wahnsinnig toller Künstler. Aber auch er, wie viele Menschen auch, war mal an einem Punkt, wo er sich überlegt hat, schmeiße ich mein ganzes Musikprojekt, mein ganzes Leben jetzt wirklich weg? Was dazu geführt hat, dass er an diesen Punkt gekommen ist und vor allem, wie ein einziger Song manchmal ein ganzes Leben retten kann. Das hört ihr jetzt hier im neuen Star Talk. Viel Spaß.
Tom Walker.
Hi.
Welcome to Berlin.
Thank you.
Good to have you here. So I guess that's not your first time in Berlin, is it?
No, definitely not, no.
When was the last time and what's the reason this time?
The reason this time is like we're coming in to play like Sony all the new music and the new album and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. I guess last time we were here was probably for a gig, but I can't remember when. It was a while back.
You remember where
it?
You
were? It was Columbia Calling, was it?
Ah, Columbia yeah. Halle. Like, yeah. Columbia Hall was last time you played a gig here?
I think
when
so,
was
yeah. Last year. Yeah, I'm not sure what date.
What's your honest opinion about Berlin? Can you imagine
yeah,
living
cool.
here? Or is
yeah,
it?
Definitely. I mean, it reminds me a bit of London, but like, you know, a little bit more spread out and good food, great beer.
good food. What's a good food? It's a currywurst or it's
oh,
a döner.
Currywurst, yeah. Yeah, it's good.
All the people.
I went to an amazing steak place last night and the food was out of this world. I mean, it was a Chicago steak place in Germany, so yeah, but the steak was amazing.
Celebrity or not, there's some things we all share. Yeah. That's the love for Berlin food. Your release was Burn.
Yeah.
How do you feel? Wow.
Amazing, yeah. I mean, the reaction's been like amazing to it and we've been out and played a load of like kind of pop-up gigs, which has been super fun.
Yes.
We've been in Manchester and Glasgow and London, Birmingham. So, yeah, it's been fun.
How was the feedback so far?
Yeah, amazing. Hear? Yeah, people seem to be really digging the track. We've got loads of support on, like, radio in the UK and from, you know, streaming and all that kind of thing. So, yeah, it's been great.
Family and friends?
Yeah, my mum and dad and, like, my partner absolutely love it, yeah. Especially my partner. I think it's one of, like, her favourite ones that I've done.
Fan number one.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I know what you mean. So, Burn, let's talk about it. It's a very personal song, packed with emotions and with a big background story. So sure. My first question would be, why was the song necessary, if you can put it into a few sentences?
probably for my own therapy, I think. Yeah, I mean, the track's about just, I've been working with my label for a long time now, and, you know, in 90% of the time they've been great, but it's, over the last couple of years it's been challenging getting this, you know, the difficult second album finished, and I think there's only so many times you can hand songs in before they're like, keep saying no, 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 before it kind of starts to get to you, so we had like 2 weeks in the studio and we'd written a load of tracks and I'd said to them like, don't come in yet, that things aren't finished, they're not sounding good yet.
Therapy session's not over.
Exactly. And they ignored that advice and came in and when things weren't ready and they were like, this doesn't sound finished. And I was like, yeah, I've told you that. It's not done yet. Nothing's finished. And I just went in the next day and I wrote Burn because I was just kind of so sick of the process of like trying to make them happy. So I wanted to write something that like let all the anger out and something that was completely different. A new genre that we've not really tried before and
yeah,
kind of all came across and worked. And then the label absolutely loved that song, which is hilarious. So, yeah.
So I said the song is packed with emotions, not only positive emotions. I read, I've heard about two extrema regarding releasing music. Like for some people, it's kind of a baby. They raised it and now it's in the world and they love it and they keep it as their own. And some people produce a song, happy as it is, but it can do its thing. It's released, it's all right, push it away. Like, that was, in this case, my therapy session, but it's over. How do you handle your song Burn? Will it always have a special place in your heart, or are you happy that it's finally released, but please, no, I can't hear it anymore?
Well, I think a lot of people can probably connect to it, you know, so I'm happy that it's out in the world. Like, a lot of people have probably had, like, a crap boss at some point who's, like, given them loads of crap and not been great and not been very, like, you know, inspiring, and I think everyone can relate to like doing everything and getting not a lot in return. So hopefully a lot of people find their own stories in this song like they have in the other ones.
Cool. Tell us a little bit about the process of the song. How was the writing? How was the producing?
I mean, we wrote it at like 2 o'clock in the morning after after a very long kind of week of writing. And we had the chorus idea. We had like the Burn chorus idea, but we didn't have the rest of the song. And the boys were leaving to go back to America, the McDonough brothers that I was writing with in Castle and Ryan, and I said to them, like, we should really, there's something in this song, like, we should really finish this. Like, this is a great tune. Hmm. The production's cool, but we only had like maybe 20% of it. So we ended up staying in the studio to like 6:30 in the morning, something like that. They had to fly back the next day at like, I think, 8 or 9 o'clock. So it was real commitment, and it was like really, you know, a lot of hard graft to get it done, and we were all knackered, but I mean, it was well worth it. So yeah, it was just not your everyday songwriting process, let's put it that way.
So it's a special one.
Yeah, for sure.
I even read you threw songs away, songs which were actually ready to release or record. Is that true?
Yeah, loads. Yeah.
Why did you do that?
I just think, I don't know, I think the sound wasn't quite right. When I met the McDonough brothers, you know, they really helped me figure out what it was that I was looking for, and it's kind of great now because we've got like a blueprint of what we want the whole album to sound like.
Hmm.
So we wrote like 6 tracks finished and produced in like 2 weeks that have made the album.
6 songs in 2 weeks?
Yeah, which have made the album and are done, and then I'm writing, I've got another 2 that we're working on at the moment, and then we've got the rest of the album done. So like, it's weird, I was writing for so long and then decided to change everything and just be like, right, this isn't working. Label's not happy, I'm not really happy.
Yeah.
So I just changed it last minute, and I was like, right, well, let's just do something that's a bit bonkers, a bit crazy, like a bit left field, something we've not done before.
Hmm.
And it really seemed to land, and now we've got like this awesome blueprint for the rest of the album, which is great. So I'm really excited for people to hear the rest of it as well.
There were some disagreements with labels or a specific music label, feel free to call it by name or not, but what happened there?
I just think, you know, it's everybody's working for the same thing. You want the best thing possible. You want the songs to do as well as possible. But, you know, there is such a thing as like overthinking, I think, you know, with the success of the first album going number 1 in the UK and, you know, 2 top 10 singles and the rest of it. I think labels have got a tendency to be like, oh my God, how did we do that the first time? Let's do that again. But we're not sure how we did it because everybody's winging it. You know what I mean? So I think that's the thing, really. But it's all good now, like, since we've got the music, you know, since we've got Burn and a bunch of other tracks, like...
That's a great song.
It's kind of brought us all back together, you know, which is great, and they really love the new music and they really back it, so, yeah, it's a good position to be in.
There has been a point I read about you thinking about actually quitting music.
Yeah.
What does the thought of doing so do with you?
I mean, it wasn't so much quitting music, it was, like, quitting... doing it in a professional sense, you know, like,
okay,
I definitely still play guitar and like write songs in my spare time. I don't know, it's just like doing it as a career. It was starting to really test me, you know, like getting knocked back again and again and again by the label and the songs not being good enough, and I was thinking, you know, maybe I could just go and buy a house in the country and take a year off.
So, you know? Only a year? Give me my guitar and settle me out. What did writing, recording and releasing of Burn do to you or your view on music? If you say it was some kind of therapy session, I guess it was a successful therapy session. So what changed?
No, I guess it just got all my anger out of my system, which you can definitely hear in that song, you know?
I call this song steam.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. I think you can hear, like, the anguish and the kind of, I don't know, like, the longing for, like, a new place kind of thing in that song. So I guess that's what changed, really. Like, from then onwards, I felt like, oh, my God, this is, like, a super exciting sound, like, and we've not done this before, and... Everybody, like, it was from the label to management to friends to family, were all like, wow, this sounds so different, but it sounds great, you know? So I was kind of like, oh my God, we've landed on something here. We should really try and run with it. So we did, which is great. And yeah, we'll see.
So what's the difference from Burn to all the other songs you wrote? What is
I mean,
different?
Burn's certainly the heaviest one, you know? It's like, when the chorus comes in, you really feel it, you know what I mean? So I don't think everything is, like, as, like, experimental production-wise as that song, but it is all in the kind of similar vein. Like, it's a little bit darker than the last album. It's a little bit, like, more introspective in terms of, like, how I've been feeling over the last kind of 5 years.
Yeah.
You know, the first album was about all my family and my friends and my experiences with them. This is kind of about my experience with, like, the last 5 years and, you know, everything in that. So yeah, it is different.
I heard many musicians write a lot of songs only for themselves. Like they're producing them, they're even releasing them, but they're not intent to send any message or ask a question or anything. It's just their thing. Mm. What do you think about Burn? Is there something you want to tell your listeners something with to, or is it... is it really just what it is? You needed to let out some steam,
yeah,
and it became an amazing song.
Yeah, I think it really is that. I don't think there's like, you know, I'm not trying to paint a picture with it. The only thing I'm trying to paint a picture of is like me struggling, you know, and getting so frustrated with the process, which I think people will be able to, you know, understand, because everybody at some point has really struggled with work or with their personal life or with whatever. So I do think people will connect with it on that level. But I'm not trying to, like, there's no like underlying like, okay, this is what you should take from the song, you know. It's just like, it was just me really pissed off singing at the top of my lungs that day. So
but maybe somebody might think, okay, this is something I can agree with, I can feel, like,
yeah,
as you said, the chorus, there's one thing like singing along with it and actually feeling what you wanted to say with it.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's really interesting at the gigs, because obviously we did all these pop-ups and the song had only been out like a day or 2 days, and people were already singing along to like all the backing vocal parts in the songs. People were already singing along to people knew the chorus already, even the song had only been out like a couple of hours in the Manchester gig, which was amazing. So it was really cool to see everybody like kind of chanting it, which was great.
Along with the song, there's a music video now. Tell us a little bit about it.
How
was it to film it, to experience it? Does it actually picture what you wanted to picture?
Yeah, I mean, I was just like, we need lots of fire
sure,
everywhere.
Burn,
yeah, exactly.
It's gotta burn.
And they were like, we think it's enough fire. And I was like, it's definitely not enough fire. We need the most, get a pyro guy. I want fire, fire everywhere. So, yeah, but I mean, we did like a really special acoustic version for the video, which is really cool.
Ah, so it's different from what we're hearing.
Yeah, for sure, because we wanted to release another asset that just like showed the song in a different light, you know.
Okay.
Which is kind of cool. We will have like a big music video coming for the main version, but like we wanted to release this.
Ah, so it's not the final official video.
No.
For it, there's something more coming.
Yeah, there's more coming.
You will star alone, or you want to get some, I don't know, burning background dancers?
No, there is in the main music video. Yeah, there is some other people in it. It's not just me. But in the acoustic video, it's just me and loads of fire. Everything's on fire. It's great.
While working on the song, you met a lot of amazing people in Los Angeles, I read. Tell us a little bit about your time there. How was working together with other people?
Yeah, I mean, really cool. I mean, LA's not traditionally been like my favorite place to write. I think the first time I went there, I did like almost like speed dating. It was like two sessions in a day and a different person to write with every day, and the sessions were like 3 hours. Like, it takes me like 3 hours to write, you know, a verse. So it was like, it was a different experience for me, and it felt, I don't know, I felt a little bit disconnected to it. But the last time I went, I got in with the McDonald Brothers and Ryan Daly and Castle, and we did 2 weeks together. So we did a week in California and a week in the UK. And that was like a whole different experience. Those guys are so hungry for it, you know. They work like every day, like 12 till 3 o'clock in the morning, maybe even 4. Like, they're really hungry for it, and they're just like so passionate about music. I felt I kind of lost that a little bit, you know, like I'd done so many different writing sessions and worked with so many different people, and I feel like I lost a bit of connection with music until I met those guys, and like they inspired me because they were so hungry for it and so energetic and just so into the process, which I thought was really cool.
So you actually share the same energy as
them?
Yeah,
definitely now, for sure. At the start, I couldn't keep up with them. I was like, because like normally a session will go from like 11 till 6, like maximum. Let's be realistic, it's probably 12 till 5 most of the time. So to be working like 11 till 3 a.m., like 6 days in a row, I was knackered by the end of it. I was like, oh my God, I can't keep up with these guys. Then I had like a couple of days off and they came to London. I was like, right, I need to get into this kind of process with them because this is obviously working. So yeah, we just kind of dived into the deep end, and yeah, God, my voice was knackered by working with them at the end of it. So much vocals and different backing vocals and like 3 hour vocal sessions and all that kind of thing. So yeah, but amazing process, and it's made all the difference. I'm so happy I met those guys because they've really reinvigorated my kind of look on music.
So I'm assuming you talk about 11 to 6 daytime. Yeah. Are you a night person anyway?
Oh, I definitely am, yeah. But a lot of writers aren't, you know. Like those boys definitely are. Like,
I mean,
they definitely are. They love it. You know, if you message them at like 4 in the morning, they'll probably still be up working on something. But yeah, I mean, it depends who you're working with. Obviously, like, a lot of producers have got like families and kids and they have to get home for some reason. So, but no, not me. I'm happy to stay up till 4 o'clock in the morning making music. That's fine.
Word. I cite some lines. I give you my blood, my sweat, my tears, and all you ever did was leave me here. Set me on fire because you love the hurt. What or whom do you exactly refer to here?
Well, I'm referring to the label, really, you know.
You do?
Yeah, I'm probably going to get in
such
trouble.
Such a sorry up situation?
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't really. It was just like, you know when, oh God, you just feel like you're trying everything you can do to try and get to a result, and it doesn't matter what you do, you just don't get there. And it's like so disheartening, you know. It's not like they were treating me badly or anything like that. It was just like, they were like, this song's okay, and that's good, and it's okay. They weren't like, this is amazing, we love this, well done, you know? It's like, it was just like, everything was kind of okay and mediocre.
Like an elementary teacher.
Oh, exactly. Exactly. I was getting PTSD from high school where, you know, I was in maths class failing everything for 5 years. I was going back to that place, and it was just sending me under.
So I guess you now try to, in the future, try to avoid all kind of situations like that. What did you change in your lifestyle or even in writing and producing music to, I guess, wanting to not let that happen ever again, to be at that point?
This is the thing about being creative. Like, you can't force it. It's not like you can sit down and be like, I'm going to write the best song in the world today. Like, that's not how it works. Like, and I don't care who says it is. It's not. Like, you try and write 10 songs and one of them is great. And then you write another 10 songs and one of them is great and the rest of them are crap. And you have to write all those crap songs to get to the good ones, and that just seems to be the process. And it's really hard when you've got deadlines or people chasing you, or like, the album's got to come this day, this has to happen here. You're like, I'm trying, but you can't force it. And I think, I think that is the difficult thing about this job. And because I write all my own music, like, we don't accept outside songs. Do you know what I mean? Like, I have to be in the room writing with people. I'm not one of those artists who just, oh, there's a song finished by somebody else, I'll just take it. You know what I mean? So I think it takes a little bit longer.
And it's even not the only project you work on currently. While investigating the Tom Walker as preparation of this interview, you have your own podcast. Tell us a little bit about it. What is it? Why is it worth listening?
It's not. It's terrible. Don't listen to it. I'm so bad at podcasting. I've given up doing that. There's certain things in this life that I'm good at.
Concurrence.
Podcasting
is big.
I tell you what, man, I've got a whole new respect for people who interview people after trying that. All the research and everything that you've got to do for it, like, crazy amount of work. And like, I often trip up on my words when I'm like nervous, and I was interviewing like Nile Rodgers and like, you know, Jamie Oliver and just like all these really famous people, thinking, I am not good at this job of interviewing people. So I bowed out of it, but you know, it's out there in the world. If people want to go listen to me awkwardly trying to interview some celebrities, you're more than welcome to.
But we are all humans after
all. Well, absolutely. But you know, this, you got to work to your strengths sometimes. And like, I just, every time I did it, I was like, oh my God, I'm so bad at this. Like, this is all, I was cringing, like, hearing myself doing it. So I've moved on to other things. Let's try something else.
I got another little off-topic question, but actually it's not that off-topic because we are talking about music. But maybe let's think about the people who hear the Energy Star Talk podcast, like our conversation or the parts of it, and they've never heard of Tom Walker. And I read you learned all the instruments you play all by yourself.
Well, I did have guitar lessons, but that was it. Everything else I've taught myself.
What else do you play, actually?
I play drums, I play piano badly, I play bass, and that's about it, really. I played violin for years, but I've honestly not picked one up in like 10 years, so I don't know. I'm pretty sure I could get something out of it, but it wouldn't sound great.
When did you start? Like, how come with all your classmates playing with Pokemon cards and you grab your violin and say...
Do you know what it was? It was like, none of my friends played music. Like, nobody was really interested. It was really weird. Like, my school, no one was interested in playing guitar or drums. So, like... And I couldn't believe that because I was fascinated by it. And it was, like, really the only thing I was good at. So I bought a guitar And then my neighbour was selling a drum kit for like 80 quid. So I bought the drum kit. And then one of my mates like had a friend who was selling a bass, so I bought a bass. And then I had all these instruments, and then I finally, like, my dad came home one night and he could hear me like bashing away on the drums and playing the bass and the guitar, and he was like, you know, starting a one-man band. And he bought this little four-track recorder home, and he was like, you know, take this, figure out how to use it.
Great.
And that was kind of like the start of me becoming a songwriter, really. Because after that, I had the whole band. I had all the music, and then I was like, oh, well, I don't know any singers, so I'll have to start singing. And then from singing, I started writing my own songs. And yeah, I was just fascinated by it. I don't know why. I was so rubbish at everything else at school. Terrible. But I just absolutely love music, man. It's just fascinating. One of my friends bought a clarinet recently, right? And he sent me a version of Burn on the clarinet. It's terrible, but I love it.
Sounding like Squidward tentacles from SpongeBob SquarePants. Like,
exactly. yeah. But he loves it. He just keeps going out and buying like all these cheap secondhand instruments just so he can like figure them out. He's bought like a trombone and a trumpet.
What a great way to go.
I know, and I was like, why am I not doing this? I need to like be going out and like getting a double bass and like all these things. So yeah, I just think it's really inspiring, like picking up new instruments. And every time you go to a music shop and you buy something, or you know, you pick up a new instrument, and you take it home and you end up writing a new song or a different sound, and it's really inspiring. So yeah.
So you said your dad gave the thing. When it comes to music, it's always the dads.
Yeah.
Right? Wasn't it? He had a huge impact on you?
Yeah, I mean, he's just such a huge fan of, like, music. I honestly went to more gigs when I lived at home with my parents than I do now, because my dad was taking me to a gig, like, 4 or 5 times a month. He just loved music.
A month?
Oy. Yeah, he was just booking everything that came into, like, the MEN or the Manchester Apollo or, you know, the jazz club in Manchester. Like, he was just booking tickets for everything. So I've been to see so many great things with him. And, you know, he took me to see, my first concert was like AC/DC in Paris when I was 9. Which
was
is
9?
Like such an unbelievable first concert, you know. And my dad was like, oh no, I forgot to buy tickets for the UK one, but France hasn't sold out, so let's go watch them in France. I was like, awesome, that sounds so great.
This is great.
Yeah.
It's also has been my dad showing me like Pink Floyd, The Doors. What are 3 bands or artists who will never leave your side as long as you live?
AC/DC, oh God, BB King. I went to see BB King with my dad. That was really cool. I love Adele, man. Adele's so good. She's so classy.
Yeah,
like she's great. Just great. So yeah, I think those 3 artists.
Great. In the future, the next weeks, month, what is planned? You got anything on the go, like new songs, a tour?
Yeah, all that stuff. We've got, we're doing this, what's it called? The Subterranean Tour. That's it. We're basically playing caves in the UK.
Like events?
Like actual
prepared,
caves.
Like actual
caves with no power and no internet. It's a logistical nightmare to organise, but it's going to be cool. We wanted to do something for like the hardcore fans, because it's only going to be like 500 cap maximum.
People are going to live the moment.
Well, exactly. People are going to remember that. I mean, it's like, you know, we want to just do something different that isn't in like your standard venue, and something that, you know, people haven't seen or been to before. So I'm really excited about that. And we're going to be playing, you know, the bulk of the new album. We've got a new single coming out. Is it November that Freaking Out's coming out? Yeah, I got another single in November coming out, and then in January we've got another single coming out. So yeah,
okay.
It's exciting.
Where? Last question: what are the best channels to get on your new releases? Like, you got Instagram, TikTok.
I mean,
X,
all of them.
Twitter.
Whatever you prefer, really. If you're a TikToker, get on TikTok. On Instagram, my handle is I am Tom Walker. So yeah, if you just type that in on Google, you'll see me.
Amazing. Thank you for being here and
pleasure.
For the pleasant chat.
Thanks for having me. Nice one.
Have a good time.
Cheers.
Der Energy Star Talk. Einer von vielen Energy Original Podcasts. Das Video und noch mehr Infos findet ihr auf energy.de.